fire chief will retire and I can become a fire chief and do that and make enough money and be happy. And I don't have to drive and beat everything to be in town. I don't have to go anywhere, do anything. See what happens. Like, work out just about the right time.
That's the American dream.
We can all dream, right?
Yep, I've got 30 minutes every morning on my way into work dreaming about doing something different.
Yeah, me too. Normally it's 50, but today it's a little longer. But oh well. I take the good with the bad, I guess. The good is I don't have to do this 5 days a week, and I only have to do it twice. Well, last week was three because of vendors in the office, but I'll be glad when that project's done. So it's getting there. Should be, they're well on their way to getting it done, so I got more infrastructure in last week for the statewide phone system, so they're doing some quality testing this week, but they're doing it remotely, so, which is nice, and I'll have to be in the office for it, so that's why everything, they were there last week and everything plugged in, up and running, and so they could do their remote testing. The guy that was on site at my place last week is actually in Lansing this week for that testing, so I don't have to deal with it.
I kind of forgot we talked about that last week. Yeah, we our cutover went well too, thankfully. Better than I honestly could have anticipated, so it's nice when things work out.
Yeah, good thing is I got him access, so even if he does come back to my place, I still don't have to babysit him. So he can get in the building, he needs to come in and do something, take care of it himself.
Good old delegation, get it done.
Sounds like W8FU.
Is he out there?
That sounded like him, but it may be a little early for him, though.
I've caught him the last couple days right around 7 o'clock. You know, if you're on 94 a lot, there's the UMP repeater. Well, I guess it doesn't matter, because you got the Warren one, too. But there's the 443-625 one in Mount Clemens.
Yeah, I had it in front panel programmed something else in that slot. Never went and re-put it back in. So I probably should read my radio and actually put the stuff in there that makes more sense, but never got back around to putting it back in. I was traveling and on the fly and needed an open spot. And that just happened to be the one I got rid of. I need to put it back. But yeah, you're right. I usually do use the Mount Clemens repeater. It takes that gap out. Usually a pretty good signal there. But usually I can get into the 2.6 pretty well.
NADBF, what are you running for a radio?
Motorola APX7500, a dual band VHF, UHF.
Oh, so you've got one of the legit ones.
Yes, very legit. And I'm running it with a 03 handheld control head, so everything's right in my hand. So, which is nice when you're trying to do frequency entrance when you're trying to motor down the road.
I've been hemming and hawing about putting a mobile in my new truck, and I still haven't pulled the trigger on it.
Well, I happened to just stumble on this one of the Facebook groups that I was in. It was at a decent price. I'm like, you know, I liked my FTM 400, but then I wasn't using it. Still didn't use it. Still in the tub from when I got rid of a vehicle. Being up where I'm at, I listen to a lot of marine traffic, and it was just a better radio for doing that. It seems to be a better radio all around. And I like the little handheld control head where I didn't have to put something else somewhere. There's just not a lot of room in these vehicles to put in.
No, that's been my biggest hurdle, too, is like, where am I going to put it? So that's why I haven't done anything yet. I did order a little VTEC amp to give that a shot, because I can hide that under the seat. But then the other problem is antennas on pickups, so unless you want to do something super permanent or a mag mount, there's really not a lot of in-between. I'm checking out those stake pocket mounts. I don't know if you've ever seen those. It's like Geo something makes them. They're like $60, and they go right in a stake hole, and you have a UHF connection on them, or an NMO.
I did look at those, but I have tonneau covers, so it kind of covers those up, but I just ended up putting two NMO mounts in my roof, one for each side, so it doesn't use a combiner. This radio's got separate amps for each side, so it works out nice. SWR is good on both of them. Works out quite well. I got an F-150, so it's aluminum, so I couldn't do the mag mount route.
I can't commit to the hole in the roof thing. I've looked at them, I've thought about it, I can't do it. But fortunately, I got one of those low-pro tonneaus, so it's actually inside of the bed rails. So I think that might work perfectly, but we'll see. I'm just rocking a THG-75 with a little BNC mag mount right now, and it's doing okay.
Yeah, it's not bad. So, and another reason I got this radio, it was a little higher power. And before the Richmond repeater went in, I could get that UMP pretty much all the way home in Claire. But now that the Richmond repeater's in there, I can get that thing. Heck, I can get that thing all the way pretty much down here. I'm almost 8 mile on 94 now. That Richmond repeater's got a good footprint.
Yeah, I think 25 watts is like the sweet spot, but I have not used that Richmond repeater a whole lot. I kind of went on a radio hiatus right when that thing went live, and I used to live in Armada, so it would have been really nice and convenient, but by the time I got back into radio, we had already moved. So I'll hit it every now and then just to see where I'm at and if I can get in, it's on the other side of the world for me now.
I was headed up north a couple weekends ago, too, and I hit it all the way up in Jeddo, and it's been coming in loud. And that's, you know, hilly and all kinds of obstructions in between me and the machine, so I was pretty impressed by that, too.
Yeah, we've got a nice little network down here. There's definitely stuff around, and usually people around, there's decent activity, so... Another deciding factor I need to get back on the air is there's some activity where, it goes in lulls, I guess. There's spurts where it's dead, and then there's spurts where it's active, and I think the winter time it's a little more active.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. Yeah, summertime it kind of drops off a little bit. We're picking back up again. And, nothing like pre-COVID. I mean, COVID killed everything. I was 5 days a week. You know, actually, I was more than that because I was still working shift work. So I was working 7 and 8 days in a row, and a couple days off, back at her again. And I was on the air every morning, every afternoon, drive time. So don't have to do that no more. Thank the Lord.
I really wish I would have had my license right about the time COVID kicked off. Talk about a awesome hobby to do when you're stuck at your house or in your backyard. That's me now. I'm Monday through Friday. I'm on in the morning, on in the afternoon, depending on activity and if anyone comes back to me. So trying to get back into it. There's a couple regulars out there that I usually catch. Like I feel like I'm starting to catch you pretty often. I'll grab Sean. KF8S, my buddy Dave. So it's good. It's a decent group of people out here.
Oh yeah, yep. Got a little network here, so pretty good little network. So yeah, I got mine in 19, so I was just a little bit of pre-COVID. Yeah, I got into All-Star when COVID hit, and so I was connected to the outside world from that. But I haven't done much at home, just busy summertime, like you just said. So maybe wintertime I'll get back into it. You know, go back in. I got to do some work on both of my nose. Got one I can't get into it, but I can't remember the password for the Linux. So I don't know what.
Blow it out and set it up again.
Yeah, the thing is, it was a Starry Note. I bought it, and I never did the initial setup. I'm not sure I want to wipe it, because I'm sure if I can get it back going. I just try to do it.
If you need help, I've lost count how many Starrys I've configured. I've wiped mine a couple of times. I've set up a couple, sold a couple, set up a couple for buddies. There's a really nice guide on their website, and I think I actually have the PDF that if you ever can't find it, give me a holler. Those are the nodes, though, in my opinion. I run a clear node now at my house. They're expensive, but I have not touched the thing since I got it. I mean, I control it with an app on the phone. It works flawlessly. But that's not to say that the Starry that I've had didn't work the exact same way. I just had to sign into a web GUI.
Yeah, that's the part I need to get back going is the web GUI on both of mine. Just haven't. Obviously, I've changed some network architecture at home. So it's hard-coded for a different IP address, but so I can't get back into it. So I'll get to it. Wintertime would be a good time to do it.
Flip over to that channel and then you're, you know, you can use whatever the hell you want, you're on the air, so to speak. But I've been a lazy IT guy. I I've just followed the same IP, everything. Brain, schema, SSID, password. And I'm not really not for the device, so we'll see what happens.
I don't know if it's where I'm at. I'm 94 Connor downtown, so I don't know if it's me or hey, I gotta jump off here and grab this phone. I'll catch you in a little bit. So you then,
I'll see you.
KERUH Mobile.
Good morning. Where are you at?
Late start this morning. My daughter's going to fifth grade camp, so I stuck around the house till she was leaving. So I am just getting on 94 here. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm a little bit behind as well. Not a lot, but my first event of the day is a little later, so I was going to actually sit at home and just go straight out onto the road, but then I decided against it, so here I am just a little behind the schedule, a couple minutes. But I am at 16 and DeQuinner, just making my decision whether I want to go up to 59 or sheet 16 across to the Clem.
I can't even imagine what either one of those roads are like rush hour. So probably six of one, half a dozen of another.
Yeah, 16 is always pretty good unless the only weirdness there is you could potentially get stuck by the train, but I've never been stuck at this hour, give or take. But 16 is pretty good. 59 can be congested in Utica. It gets kind of squirrely there, but it seems like they're both just the same speed-wise. I don't know. I think 59 might flow a little faster. I don't know. 16 it is, though. That's usually my go-to. Just I have to, if I'm going to do Starbucks, I have to pick different ones depending on which route I take.
Yeah, isn't there a Starbucks in front of that Lowe's on 16, though?
Yeah, there is. You know, the thing is, they all have their ins and outs. The easiest one, the In-N-Out, is too far from work if I want my coffee for work. And the ones, as they get closer and closer to work, they get progressively more and more difficult to navigate in and out of. The one right by my work is just not a bitch to get in and out of. So, terrible. Terrible design. I don't know why they picked that location. It's always just a nightmare.
Is that the one in front of Meyer there on Grossbeck?
That's the one. You can't turn in. If you're heading north, you can't turn in off Grossbeck on that little street right there at it. You gotta go in at the light a ways south of it, and that light takes a long time to turn for the left turners into the shopping plaza. And then you can't leave out that way either by the Starbucks. You gotta backtrack back to that light, and you still got that long wait again. Because they're not real interested in spending a lot of time for the shopping mall in and out. It's mostly going to be gross by flowing.
Yeah, you know, that area is difficult. Luckily, I think that by the time I moved out of Mount Clemens, that Meyer had just popped up there, probably was there for a year or so, and was never really a shopper of that Meijer or anything in that plaza, but I can imagine it was it's a difficult area to get in and out of, like you said.
I'll leave a little break in there. I'm not sure what we heard earlier. Sounded like maybe somebody was out there, but couldn't make it out. Anywho, yeah, it's not an easy place to get in and out of. It's okay for southbound, but for northbound. And there's nothing on the northbound side. Used to be the Burger King. That was it. Just nothing on the northbound. So people heading up got to deal with it. I like that Dunkin' Donuts is just a real bear, too. You know, right there at the corner of Cass and Grossbeck. That's almost impossible to get in and out of for the northbound traffic. Because Cass has always, you know, got a load of people on it. So getting in and out that way is a bear. And getting in and off northbound is too close to Cass. Probably a pro left, actually. So that one there is, it's just, if I wait till I get over to Grossbeck, my coffee stop's going to be a challenge. That's all I'm saying. Anybody else in there this morning? I heard something earlier, and I was waiting for you to clarify because I couldn't make it out.
Doesn't sound like there's anybody else. Yeah, that's always been a weird side of town over there, that whole Grossbeck corridor. Because you're right, there's nothing over there unless you're going southbound. But I've come to just making coffee in the morning, bringing it with me. It gets exhausting and expensive going to buy a couple dollar coffee, $5 coffee every day. So, and there's a Starbucks basically at the end of my street, and I do enjoy their coffee, but it's just not worth it to me to do it every day.
Nope, you are right. It isn't. But I have been accused of many things, but being frugal is not one of them, and I've paid the price for it.
I go back and forth between being frugal and spending too much money, so hopefully it balances out. I don't know that it does, though.
Well, I can assure you it is not worth the consequences. Come on, is somebody going to let me over? Yeah, there we go. Good grief. Behind a truck hauling a big old trailer. Nobody would let me get out from behind it. But now I have. Yeah, I can assure you it's, you know, getting to Starbucks is enjoyable for 10 minutes, and then you cumulatively you pay for all them Starbucks for a very long time.
Absolutely. Hey, I haven't heard Dakota on the air in over a week. He bought that fancy radio and hasn't been on much as of late. Have you heard from him?
I caught him yesterday. I was on the road early, and I caught him yesterday for a little bit on the way in, and he said he had to get in. He had pulled up, and he had to get in, and it was a little before 7. So I'm thinking his commute time is going to be between 6 and 7.
Yeah, that would make sense. I'll just have to, when I'm in the car earlier, have to make sure I call out, see if he's on. But I know he was having... He thought he was having some trouble with it. I didn't know if he went back to being off the air, but it's good to hear that you caught him. I gotta catch up with him soon here, so maybe I'll have to just text him or give him a call one night.
Yep, I sent him my number via Telegram, but I haven't. He's got two accounts on there, so I sent my number to both, but I haven't heard from him on Telegram in a while, although he acknowledged that yesterday. He asked for my number. He said shoot it over on Telegram, so probably get a look at it. So, no, he sounds like he's doing well. His radio's working real good for him. It sounded real good when I talked to him. Talked to him yesterday on the way home as well, on his way home. I forget where I was. So, he's out there, and his radio's working pretty good for him.
Well, that's good. I keep teasing him that he's got to get us a three-month review on that thing, because it does appear to be a very cool radio, and I don't think I have the need to part with that much money for a handheld, but the amount of options that it has, and it is a interesting device that I'd like to know more about.
Yeah, the only way I see fit to have one is I'd have to, like, unload a bunch of my other handhelds that are collecting dust. I have a few. You know, if I was to unload, you know, a couple of them in particular, I could get the lion's share of it, and I'd have to just put it out of my mind that I was spending, you know, that much on a handheld radio, and just say that, no, I'm just consolidating a couple of handhelds into a different handheld. I got two problems with that, and, well, one is the cost no matter what. No matter how I come into the money, it's going to be hard part with that much cash for a handheld radio, a ham radio, no less. But and then I had a buddy that had the previous version of that one, and he was very underwhelmed and unimpressed with it. Said the keypad started coming apart and some other stuff, and he was not impressed with it. So I don't know if they've made improvements in the new version, but I looked at one and it seemed real nice to me. It checks every box. The only one that doesn't check for me is its digital mode is D-Star, and, like, who cares?
Yeah, I'd have to do something similar, sell a bunch of gear and then buy it. But even at that, it's a lot of money, and I totally agree with you. You know, if, excuse me, if the, at some point you do get a repeater up down by me, and I'm in handheld range of a repeater, it would make more sense. But it doesn't really make sense to have a fancy handheld when I can't really use it at my house. So, you know, it does have APRS, which for some reason I continuously am intrigued by, but struggle to make it work with anything. So I don't know why I'm intrigued by it, but yeah, I don't think I'm parting with that kind of money for a handheld anytime soon. Too many variables that make it not worthwhile.
Yeah, as far as the APRS goes, I ran that on my Yaesu mobiles. I have ran it, and they do it pretty effortlessly. And I don't know, I was just really underwhelmed by the whole thing, and it's like, okay, great, you know, I'm showing up on a little map where I'm at, and I just didn't see any use for it. So, you can, I mean, I hate to say you can grab your phone and just, I think you can go to Google Maps and it'll show you similar information. We did have some fun with it when I was traveling, but I was not using APRS. The map would have been very, very spotty, especially when you're in the rural areas. Instead, I was using an app called TrackR, and TrackR is a based on your cellular, your phone logs you, and that gave a very detailed route, and it didn't miss a thing on the map. And you know, with APRS, you'll go, all of a sudden you'll show up in Cleveland, and then you'll just have a straight line from Cleveland to Buffalo, because it didn't pick up any APRS stations between. That's probably a bad example, but certainly Memphis. You'd show up on the map in Memphis fairly detailed. And then as soon as you get into Arkansas, you'd probably just have a straight line to Little Rock, and then Little Rock you'd start showing up again.
Yeah, that's definitely the what I've gotten out of it. And it's neat that there's some opportunity to send messages and stuff like that, but the coverage is so spotty that unless, you're running your own iGate and DigiPeter and working within that specific range from that equipment, it's just, I don't know, I'm struggling to see the purpose of it. I'm sure somebody has figured something out that's very cool, but I don't know, it's just it's a tough sell to get involved in.
Obligate a few. Well, it's fun to play with. There is that, and but that's about it. And after the after you played with it and got it working, it's kind of shrugged. Now what? Now where I have seen it successfully used and where it's had some value is in the volunteer work. If you're like the guys, Fred runs it with his group. He uses the TrackR app because it's more granular, but he probably uses some APRS as well. But like when they do events like Bike MS and Walk MS and stuff like that, they have a lot of volunteers out on the field, for assistance and medical and things like that. And they keep track of all their people in the event, where they're at any given time. So if they have a call that, hey, we've got a person fainted at such and such a location, they can see who's where and get somebody there quickly. And so in a situation like that where you've got an event, you want to keep track of your people, hey, that works. you know, that's got some value.
K8RUH. Yeah, that definitely makes sense, and again, that goes back to my theory of you have to be within proximity of your digipeater and the connection to connect everybody together. So that use case is awesome. But like I think we've both been saying, is that just have it as part of your everyday routine, it may not be that useful from what I know about it at this point. I want it to be, but I don't think that it is.
Well, you've got some radios that'll do it, so, you know, continue to putz with it. It is fun to get going and watch it work, and then once you've mastered it, you can get the T-shirt and, you know, and then talk about it, you know, so you got that, right? But I'm not even sure. I think we took the repeater down in Mount Clemens. Yeah, I think it's down right now. Randy's been bugging me to get that thing back online. I really should. Matter of fact, I'm going to check on that this morning, see what we got to do to get that thing back going. I know we were hot to do it a couple of months ago, and then everything just kind of fizzled.
Yeah, you know, I had it working a few, like a year and a half, 2 years ago with, I think, a MobiLink TNC, and it worked pretty good around town, and then I just tried using it, I don't know, about a month ago, and couldn't get anything to happen, couldn't get anything to work, and then I think you said on Telegram that it was down. And which would make a lot of sense because that's where I was getting in and out and seeing a lot of action was in that Mount Clemens repeater. So if that thing comes back up, maybe I'll start playing with APRS again. But for now, I'm out of the game until something happens or I build some infrastructure or something like that. So it's fun. It's all exploring and learning something new and getting frustrated, and that's part of the fun of this hobby, I guess.
Yeah, I'll check with Paul this morning and maybe reach out to Randy and see if we can get that back on the agenda. Get that. I know Randy's really champing the bit to get that thing back online, so I'm sure he'll welcome any movement in that direction. I got some I wouldn't say critical, but I've got some stuff that's needs attention, priority stuff for work that we have to deal with first, so I don't see where we're going to have a lot of free time if it's not our own time to help get that thing back online. But I'll see what we can work out, try to if it's not a lot, you know, it can be done on a Saturday or something, or stay late or something like that, then I think we need an antenna. I think we got an amount. I think we even got the antenna. We just got to really get up there and mount it, which is not a big deal, really. You just got to do it. Probably should do it before the weather gets bad.
Yeah, getting stuff done before the weather gets bad is always the best option. But, man, I can't even imagine the project list that you have, whether it's for the job or for all of us lucky ham folks that you guys are maintaining all of this stuff. But, holy cow, I know just general maintenance around a house is a lot, but let alone maintaining all that infrastructure and getting people to help and organize it and finding the people that actually have the knowledge to help you has got to be just a wild task. And it, let me tell you, it's greatly appreciated, so thank you, but I can't even imagine your task list.
Oh, it's not too bad. It's not too bad for reasons. And, you know, some, I know February, March this year was really, really hectic. I mean, almost all my spare time in the spring was tied up in the weekends. But There's a lot of guys who'll do it. But you know, we can put things off for a long time. You know, I've got Richmond. We've got a lot of work we got still to do up there, and that's been just sitting there waiting. And you know, one day we'll get to it. Just the cards will align, and next thing you know, we'll be doing it. So that's how that works. Anyhow, I'm just pulling up here in the spot. Going to get inside and figure out what's cooking. So you drive safe. I don't know if you're going to get a walk-in, but looks like if you do it quickly, you might beat the rain. I did 5.5 miles last night. My shins are a little, it was a power walk, and my shins are a little complaining a little bit this morning. So I'm going to try to get some regular walking in, power walking, maybe get back to running. I want to run a 5K, and I got to wait to lose before that's going to happen. All right, travel safe. After yours, W8FU.
No walking today. Going right to the office since I was staying home a little bit later. But, yeah, we will let me know when you run that 5K. I'll see if I can make it to the same one. My daughter's into running 5Ks now, so we will be running some around town probably in the near future. But I will talk to you soon. Hopefully those shin splints fill up quickly. We will talk to you this afternoon, maybe. K-E-8-R-U-H, I am clear.
TFM Mobile.
Good morning, W8FU.
Good morning to you, sir.
Oh, man, I'm sleepy. And I've been up for a while. Oh, well. I think it's a hazy threat of rain. Got a bunch of guys meet me at one of my sites. They're going to be doing outdoor work. They picked a hell of a day. Inroads on getting a hot spot?
Not yet. You know, I told NAJPT how to throw me. I put in an email at QRZ so he could send me a parts list so I can at least order some stuff off of Amazon since I'm going to be stuck at home until Halloween after tomorrow. Give me something to play around with. And then there's somebody that program my TYT with the new firmware.
Yeah, so, you know, Willie and I had talked a little bit about that. And I think I was telling you before, I have the first iteration of the OpenSpot, the RF Shark OpenSpot. And, you know, that's a great little rig. And, I'm trying to figure out what a fair price would be. I mean, not a fair price, but a very good price would be for you on that, and then make it available. It's a really, really nice unit. The only problem is with the OpenShark 1 is it didn't have Wi-Fi, so you got to jack it into your router. But if it's for, you know, but if it's for the home, you know, or you have, you know, a place to plug it in wherever you're going, then, you know, it works perfectly adequate, but very, very good user interface. I'm a big fan of the RF Shark stuff. After they they went to the new form factor, and the software is all the same, but the new form factor with built-in battery and the Wi-Fi and all that just makes them perfect.
That'll work. If you got Venmo, I can Venmo you cash. That's not a problem. I was looking for something more for home. I mean, it'd be nice to have it in the van too, but I can have quite a few of the repeaters, for MI5, with my DMR. So that's okay. When I'm in Ann Arbor, I can get, I got a Brandmeister there in Ann Arbor, and I can get the other talk groups. But it's just something where I can just keep up with MI5 when I'm at home. Or bounce to other areas, just something to occupy my time.
Yeah, this may be just a ticket. I just got to make sure that, it's priced so that it's a good deal for you. I want to make you absolutely sure that, I can't imagine $50 would be the highest I think it'd be. And I don't think you're going to have anything in that price range. But I got to make sure that's a good price, for an open spot one.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds, whatever you think is fair, it's fair with me. I mean, I follow your lead. They follow Paul's lead. I mean, you guys are on the radio a little bit more on the technical side in regards to operational units. So I always check what the other hand's on. Is this good? Is this good? I do my research before I start, dropping some money.
Yeah, I'll make it a point to get that thing plugged in, fired up, see how it works, make sure, that there's no pitfalls or caveats or anything. I'll do a little research on it, make sure that nothing significant has changed from the different iterations of the open spot. And, if all the cards align and the price is right and everything like that, you're top of the list. I just want to make sure you're not getting something that you'll be frustrated with or doesn't work or anything like that. I just don't know, because they're up to open spot 4 now, that's the one I have. And I know part of it, they got that IMB chip built in, which, helps for some things, which is unique to that product, sort of. And there may be reasons, or maybe they added a mode, like I think maybe, P25 was added, at some point or something. But I'll figure it out. I know they went from 1 to 2, they added an internal battery and Wi-Fi, or maybe that was 2 to 3, or maybe they added a battery and, in 2, and then 3 added battery and Wi-Fi, and then 4 added the IMB chip or something. I'll figure it out. So that's the only thing that's keeping me from hooking you up with it. I just want to be sure, like I say, of all that. All right, anyhow, enough on that. Are you up in the, are you on the Romeo right now, or the Richmond, I should say?
No, believe it or not, I'm on 94, about to get on the 75 South. I got to meet up with a bank representative for one of my accounts. I'm doing one of their receivers downtown, putting it online after the repair. So that's my specialty.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I hear a little picket fencing in there, but nothing bad. You're solid. You should be able to work it most everywhere down there, the 2-6, so it shouldn't be too much of a problem. I'd like to have a receiver down that way. I got to get with my buddy Dave and see about putting a receiver down there. That would be nice. But in order to do that effectively, I got to get some hardware and stuff. And it all costs money.
Oh, I understand that. That's why I'm just slowly building up my toys. I bought the Olinco E735G or something like that. Through DX Engineering. Nice site. Bought a new Comet antenna. And enjoy that. So I got that all set up there. And, if you need a laptop or a desktop or something, I might be able to scare up one here and there.
Yeah, pretty good in that department. So I've been running these Weiss boxes for most of the infrastructure stuff, Dell 5070s. And not that they're any great shake or anything like that, but they do the job effectively, and they're pretty robust, they're pretty hardy, so that's kind of my my go-to now, as it is with several other of my associates doing this kind of stuff, so it just makes it easy. And we bought a boatload of them. You might hear Anthony out here, RUH, he sold us a boatload of them a while back. I mean, more, Fred, MI5, more so than I, but I still bought like 20 some of them. It's enough that I got two at every site, because one of them is to run the repeater software so that I can remotely log in and control the repeater, you know, and do programming and alignment and things like that, and then the other one runs the actual linking software. So a couple of those at every site. The caveat up till recently was power supplies. I was going to be, you know, I got a really smoking hot deal on the rigs, but couldn't find the power supplies for a good deal to save my life. And then somebody says, "What kind of power supplies?" And I told him. He says, "Hold on." He went and found boxes of brand new ones, unopened, that were like surplus. I'm like, "You're kidding me!" So we've been lucky in that department.
Yeah, I got lucky a few years back. Back at that time, it was a Windows 2008 server, rack mount. It was for a client, but because the corner was slightly tented, they refused the shipment. So I had a big old server sitting there, and I'm like, what could I use this for? And I got a hold of Paul, took a picture of it, and said, "Can you use this?" He goes, "Oh, yeah." So dropped it off over to EOC. I think, hopefully it's still running.
Yep. Okay, let's see. I just pulled into a Starbucks. I got to go sit around in a field for the next few hours, so I'm going to get me a coffee here. If you're still out here when I get back out, I'll give you a call. Otherwise, travel safe, and we'll talk to you later. W8FU.
Yeah, I'm going to be stuck down on a base, or actually on the third floor of an office building down here. Stay there for a couple hours, but I'll pop on the radio when I get back up. So enjoy your coffee, enjoy your day, stay dry, stay safe, and I'll talk to you in a little while. Let me turn your final KCKJO.
N8KDP.
W8FUKE8VSI.
KF8FN8KPP.
W8FU.
Hey, Boo. Pee-pee.
This is cool. There's a guy with a chainsaw cutting down a telephone pole. 15 mile in Harper. Huh. What's up?
I guess it's okay if he's the guy that's supposed to be cutting down the telephone pole, but if he's the guy that's mad at the world and cutting down the telephone pole, probably not that good. I'm heading towards my client out in Oakland County. So, where is I? Van Dyke and M59 heading west.
Ah, there you go. Well, I don't know. The truck says Underground Contractors, Inc. So maybe he just, you know, being an underground contractor, maybe he doesn't like telephone poles. But, yeah, anyhow. Now I'm going to be stuck pretty much here at this, right at this 15 and Harper area. I got work being done at one of my sites, and I can leave the guys for a little bit, run, you know. But mostly I gotta just be on site. So that's my day. Right now I'm just looking for breakfast sandwich or something, get back over there and be working remotely in the field. Oh, joy.
Yeah, it goes in cycles. Some days you can't wait to get out of the office, and yeah, this is a good thing, and I'm calling it good. And other days, you know, you're out to be in the field. So right now I'm at the point, you know, my work cycle that I can't stand to be in the office. Too much drama, too much heat. So we've got an office CEO that if it's not 78 in there, she's cold. And that's just kind of unacceptable. I walked in there this morning to grab some paperwork to find out where I was supposed to go. And she had the heater on instead of 78. I go, oh boy, wait till the boys get in. They're going to love this.
Well, I can attest that. I don't like drama and personnel issues. Those are the worst. Everything else is can handle, but yeah, personnel issues and office drama, and oh God, luckily we don't have a whole lot of that, but well, good, getting out on the road. I don't get out nearly as much as I'd like to. I mean, I can, but I just don't have a reason to, and so when I do get an opportunity like this, I take advantage, you know. It's kind of nice. Not like the good old days where I was out on the road pretty much all day. So, well, right now I'm just, where am I at here? I dropped a little further down than I expected. I am down to 13 in Harper right now. Or am I? I don't know. I always get confused over here. So where do you got to go in Oakland? Whereabouts?
Road Commission. Air compressor contracts. We got the air compressor contracts. We've had them for quite a while. But our yearly meeting, how are we doing? What do they think? You know, I mean, it's not a big a formal type meeting. It's with the shop foreman and, you know, what they want done, what they don't want done, how often they want things done, you know, things of that nature. So it's more of a casual, you know, business friend meeting. Nothing formal, no public, no officials, no nothing. Just, you know, hey, I like you guys, or hey, I need them here a little bit more often, or I need them here a little bit less, you know, that type of meeting.
Now, is this going to be at their service garage there where they do the fleet off right there in the little, you know, the complex off of Telegraph?
It's all of them, actually. There's a bunch here. There's one in Troy, Lake Orion, something, Nickel, Milford. It's all of them. So, you know, it's all or nothing with those guys, which is good.
No, I mean, which one are you going to? Because the one right down there on the main campus with the sheriff, you know, the jail and everything, is where they do their fleet maintenance, is connected to their radio shop, and there's several hams over there you may or may not know, a couple anyhow, and I don't think you do know Keith or the professor or any of them guys, but anyhow, there's a lot of interesting characters right there connected to the same place as their fleet maintenance garage.
Yeah, I'm going to Pontiac Lake Road. I think I know what you're talking about. It's that big campus that kind of looks like a college, and there's all sorts of things in there. That's where they had the police and the firemen memorial built into there, too. I think I know where you're talking about. I think part of the jail or some part of the jail is in there. The sheriff's office is in there. That campus, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's kind of like the main campus, kind of like, you know, where the sheriff and the jail is, and then, you know, there's all sorts of services in through there, and I think they call it the Oakland County Service Center. I think that's what they call it, and, but it's off a Telegraph there before you get up there to where it connects back into Dixie, you know, loop it where it makes that hook and then dumps into 24, but, Yeah, that garage there, if you're ever there, like I said, a lot of the guys next door, being some interesting characters if you were there. Although, unless, I wouldn't arrive unannounced, that's for sure.
Yeah. I'm not there today. Today is Pontiac Lake Road, so that's another one. So yeah, they've got them scattered all over, but my little interest is in the world is just to make sure they get compressed air. And really, it's kind of funny because compressed air isn't as big of a thing as it used to be. Everybody's gone to, you know, all these electric cordless tools. You know, the lifts are even now battery-operated. So electric battery operated. So used to be all of this stuff was all air, and air was everything to them. And, you know, if any of these shops, big or small, lost air, it was the end of the world. And nowadays, it's really not. I mean, they can wait, you know, a day or so before we get there, not like the old days.
Yeah, I never thought about that. You're right. I know in our garage, the guys have switched over to, I think the cordless impact wrench is probably the single greatest tool ever invented.
Yeah, NAKPP. They have all migrated to this stuff, and some of this cordless stuff is almost more powerful, if not more powerful, than what the air stuff used to be. And I would imagine it's a lot more efficient, you know, because some of these compressors, you know, these are 10, 15, 20 horsepower jobs, and, you know, it takes a lot of watts to push a 20 horsepower electric motor. So, you know, and, you know, but I know when I walked by your shop, your radio shop, you know, they had just a little bitty homebrew, you know, it wasn't even a commercial brew, 5-horse compressor in there. And so that tells me that they, you know, they hardly ever use the thing, because if it was in the old days, you know, that thing would have been toast a long time ago. So, yeah, but yeah, the gist of the story, it ain't a big deal anymore. You know, it used to be when I was in my heyday doing all this stuff, you know, if a compressor went down, you better drop everything and get there. You know, it was like, because we can't do nothing. And now it's, you know, well, whatever, I don't want to pay the emergency call and all that other stuff. So, you know, technology, you know, electronics, us, ham radio, it's all, you know, it's all realmed into one, but it definitely has, even their ratchets now, you know, their flashlights, all the stuff that they carry, it's all cordless stuff, you know, one company makes this really handy electric ratchet. We used to use air ratchets, now they make the cordless ratchet, and that thing is just amazing too, and it's about the same size as an air device, so very, very impressive. You know, drill a hole, you know, when you're in your instance, you drill a hole on top of a car, you know, think that odds are it's a freaking cordless drill.
Yep, and that's, you know, and that's progress. That's, you know, everything's like that. I know my you go way back in time, my family were all, they were all rail people. They all worked in the rail industry. And for the longest time, I saw my great-grandfather's listing I thought I passed the place I was looking for, but maybe not. Yeah, I didn't. Ha-ha. I thought I passed the place I was looking for, but yet I did not. My great-grandfather was listed as I thought it was a hustler, right? And I said, that's a weird thing to put on these census records for an occupation. Hustler? Now, I heard rumors that he, you know, he got off the boat from Ireland, and he did a little boxing and a little chicken fighting and stuff like that. And I'm going to say, but, you know, but to actually list their occupation as hustler? I'm like, you know, and then I found out it was hostler. And so I looked that up and said, oh, the man who tends to the horses at a motel. And I thought, okay, that doesn't match anything I knew, but, you know, who knows? I mean, right? And then I found out that was later, after, when the train era came in the late 1800s and all that, Hostler became the guy that tended to the engines in the rail system. Ah, Now it makes sense, because I know he worked in the rail along with my entire family. That's why they were in Clyde, Ohio, because there were like 7 rails all came into Clyde. It was like that was what it's famous for. And he was a hustler. He took care of the engines. So I'm like, okay. So I went from hustler to a guy that takes care of horses at a motel to aha. but anyhow, my point was is that, you know, we have these industries and everybody's in them and all that stuff. And then, you know, within a few years, that industry is just gone. I mean, you know, cars have taken over and, you know, and everything's like that. Just, you know, you look at so many things that were a thing that are no longer a thing. And the same thing, you know, air is slowly going to become, you know, it'll always be around, you know, but you know, it's, you know, it just changes, right? You know, and completely radio has changed so significantly from when I started out in it to what it is today. I mean, it's just a completely different kettle of fish.
Yeah, well, you know, another example, too, is like when we do these projects, okay, and you see them speculative air pipes, inch and a half, inch and a quarter, you know, air pipes, you know, all that stuff you don't need anymore either, so then you got to call up the engineer and just say, hey, dude, you're a little bit dated here, you know, nobody does this stuff anymore, because, you know, they don't need it, you know, like when they had the old in-ground hoist, they used to be air over hydraulic, and so they used to have like 240-gallon air storage tanks and a massive amount of pipe. So when they dumped all that volume into those air tanks to push the oil to get the cars up, well, nobody uses those anymore. Back to electric. So, you know, and so you don't need all that volume. And it's literally, like, sometimes you almost have to get into an argument when some customer says, you know, well, I want one with 240-gallon tanks and 40 horsepower and everything else, and, you know, and you... Hey, dude, you don't need it, man. Save yourself, you know, because, you know, these things go up exponentially fast. You know, they really do. And you have to try to convince them that they don't need it.
Yeah, talk yourself out of business, right? So, all right, I just pulled up at a stop I got to make. I'm going to run in. If you're still out here when I get back, I'll catch you then. Otherwise, we'll catch you later. I'll be in and out probably throughout the day. After yours, W8FU.
My GPS says 7 minutes, so I'm going to be gone for probably an hour within 7 minutes, so I'll chat later. I tried a couple times to get a hold of KFS to confirm up, but I haven't yet. But he'll show up, I'm sure of it. NHKPP.
NHKPP.
CF Mobile.
KF8S.
Hello, Charlie 8, Yankee Victor Foxtrot.
Heard a Yankee Victor Foxtrot. This is KF8S.
Good afternoon. Getting a little more rain, I see.
Yes, getting a lot of, well, we have wet pavement here in Shelby Township. Looked like it was raining a little bit earlier, but so far it's nice enough to walk outside and not get wet, but it's damp out there.
Okay, I'm in Saginaw Township. Actually, it's where I live, but to the east of that, off an I-75 coming home from work.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you're up north there. Yeah, it's a linked system. And I don't have the dashboard up, but probably coming through one of the repeaters up there on the CMN network.
Well, that's what I wondered. This had been a standalone repeater that is located down in an area called Burton, Michigan. So I've heard people on the repeater that normally I haven't heard before, so it looks like they have linked this repeater now as well.
It looks like it. I'm going to check in a moment, see exactly where the link is coming from. But, yeah, I don't know if it was a quiet repeater before, but probably just to give it some more activity, I guess.
Yeah, the repeater was owned by a gentleman up in Bay City. And this repeater is probably about 15 miles south of where he's located. And yeah, it was basically a quiet repeater. That's why I have had this on the dual band radio on the second channel and heard conversations on here. And it's kind of like, well, that's different unless people from Bay City or around the Saginaw area were using it. And I didn't recognize the calls, but, you know, that doesn't mean anything. So, all right, just heard another call on there and just kind of figured to see where you were from and where, if they were, had linked it or not. So, yeah, it'll get some use now. It's got some good range because from my KPH, it's probably 15-plus miles away, and I'm just in the mobile on 5 watts, so it has some decent range out of it.
Okay, yeah, I can hear a little bacon frying in there, but totally readable and pretty clear as far as that goes. And, yeah, I see on the hub here, it's KC8ELQ in Burt, Michigan, 442-200. And I'm talking to you. I'm actually coming in through All-Star, but normally I will use the FBI repeater down here in Warren, which is on 442-600, and it's also linked to Romeo, and there's a repeater in Romeo, Michigan, and one in Mount Clemens, and but it's making the trip. But yeah, it needs some activity out here from time to time. So very good. So are you pretty close to home, or are you still got a ways to go?
Well, we got have about 10 minutes to go here. So I was just seeing, I have to go take a look and see what else it's linked to here, because I know the other UHF repeaters in the area here, there's the Saginaw 75, and then the couple other repeaters to see if it was linked to one of those, and it doesn't seem to be. So just, or at least I'm not picking anything up, so I have to take a look on the voter and see what other ones it's linked to, if there's anything else on the person. I'm about 10 minutes out, so AC might be out.
Yep, okay. Yeah, you're starting to fade out a little bit. But if you want to look to see what else is available, I don't know how easy it is for you to remember. This is Whiskey 8, Charlie Mike November, so W8CMN.net. Or just look for MI, like MI5, MI, you know, Central Michigan Network. If you go look at that page, they will have a list of all the repeaters. So 73 for now from KFADS.
Yeah, I'm very familiar. Fred, W8FSM is our district emergency coordinator for District 3. Jeff, KB8SWR, is one of the officers of it. He's one of my assistant emergency coordinators for Saginaw County, so we do a lot of work with them. They have a lot of the WinLink and link repeaters and other things up through here, so they're already on my page and linked here. I'm just don't have access to it mobile, so at least not while I'm driving. I'm not supposed to. So have a good afternoon, 73 KCMYDF.
Start to Sean.
Have I talked to Sean? No. Was I supposed to talk to Sean? Or is he going to talk to me? I think you faded out there. I didn't get if you replied to me.
Okay, how about Richmond?
There you go. Now you're full quieting.
Anyway, I just wanted to see if you could do lunch tomorrow. We all meet up at Sean's place and go from there.
Okay. Well, Thursday would be better because I have it off, but lunchtime, noontime is kind of tricky with calls and things. But if you guys are willing to wait for like maybe 12:30, I could probably join you.
Sean, are you listening?
Real busy with something right now, and I got somebody showing up here shortly for a contractor, so can't get too busy.
Will 12:30 lunch work tomorrow?
Probably. Let's just say yeah, and if I got a problem, I'll let you know shortly. I'll have to get on my calendar and see. I don't think I've got anything going on.
Okay. Well, then if it's okay with Dave, let's just pencil it for the moment. Sean, go back to doing what you're doing. We don't want to hold you up.
Very good. So I'm just testing a new microphone here. How is the audio? Is it, hopefully it's not overdriven or anything?
I actually like it. Your voice is more you, a little bit more defined, and you're not overdriven. You're actually perfect with it.
Very good. Yeah, this is a Shure microphone, S-H-U-R-E. It's, I forget what the number was, MV6, the cheaper one. There's a more expensive one, MV7, but this is USB only. And I'm using a program on the Mac called Transceive.
So you use a USB microphone, Transceive. Does Transceive go to the hub? Is that how you're doing it?
Yep, it's an All-Star client, and I'm connected to 48412, which is FBI headquarters. So. Yep, and it's linked on into the 2600 and all that.
I like it. I mean, it sounds more you. You know, it sounds more natural. It sounds like when we're actually talking than rather, you know, like over a radio type thing. So I think it's perfect. The modulation level, as far as I'm concerned, is fine too.
Well, good to hear. Yeah, I hope to use this as an HF mic at some point, you know, when I finally at my my final destination, so to speak, and use this for talking. And, you know, because most of the HF radios have like a USB interface, so you just kind of route your microphone into it and then go from there. So, cool. But, yeah, I like to use it on All-Star. I don't have an antenna at this location. I can't get into I've got a lot of buildings around me, so trying to use an HD in here is pretty difficult. A lot of LED lights, too.
Yeah, but that's all temporary. You'll get that fixed up shortly. I heard you in and out about your plan, so you'll be good. Yeah, I put a diamond DX antenna in my backyard, back clamped it on the back of the house so nobody could see it, which is, and I'm pretty far east, and the antenna's on the west side of the house, so it works remarkably well for me, you know, inside the house.
Yeah, I have some ideas. I'm going to probably hide stuff on the corner. I mean, mostly I don't think they want TV antennas, the ugly-looking TV antennas. If you just hide a little whip antenna and maybe even paint it the same color as the house or the sky, nobody's going to care.
Yeah. I thought TV antennas and satellite dishes and everything else was one of those things that cannot get regulated by HOA. You know, I know the ham thing. I got that. But or the HOA and the ham antennas. But I thought that they did make a ruling on terrestrial communications, you know, for people that refuse to go with the cable. I thought that they couldn't, like, make satellite dishes or terrestrial antennas for TV illegal. I thought that was a big no-no.
Yeah, I think it's more of, like, if it's in the HOA document. So, like, for example, Rochester Hills, right? They have no antenna restrictions in the city. But if you're in a community there, in an HOA community, you sign something that says you agree to not put up an antenna. But I think you're right, satellite dishes are, you know, the little small ones. Then in my HOA, they had, like, restriction. Couldn't be bigger than this, which is what, you know, the HD satellite, you know, DirecTV. So they allow it. It's just, they don't want people putting up, making their house looking like a porcupine. I think if you are respectful and you kind of just put it on the side of your house where nobody's really going to see it from the street, I don't think anybody's going to ever say anything, even though it technically might not be allowed. But, you know, unless you've got a neighbor that really is just going to be one of those neighbors. You know, UHF antennas can be really tiny, so I know for a fact I could probably hide something, or I can just put something in the attic.
Yeah, I think you can get away with that, you know, because you're right. When we went digital, we went UHF completely, and everything has gotten in, you know, relatively small antenna does a lot, so I think you're okay there. And, you know, there's a lot to be said for what's getting pushed over the air still to these days, so, okay. Okay, sir, well, I am pulling in the driveway. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to check out that program, or post that program on Telegram, whatever it is. I want to see that, because I got a couple MacBooks in the house. I'd like to try that out. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, it's one of many ways to do it. Transceive is a good Mac program. And then, you know, there's, you know, you can even make your own node and use DV switch. So but that's a topic for another discussion. So, all right, we'll talk to you later. I'll put a link to the program. KFADS. KPP,
talk later.
All good for 12:30 tomorrow.
Got it.
Still a lot of rain coming down. If you look over I-69 and Coldwater, you can see that.
KF8S from W8FU.
Thank you.